thank you that you are a relational God besides being the only wise God. We open up the Bible and read of your hands in the dirt, creating man and woman in your own image. We close the Bible singing a wonderful song to the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, where there will be no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow. We thank you, Lord, that you will keep us until that day. You have been faithful, even when we have not been faithful to you. I thank you again that you speak to us, and then you even speak through us. Lord, as you speak to us, we know you're going to speak through your word that the Holy Spirit gave to us. And I ask that you would speak through me to your people. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to the church. We'll be so very careful to give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that I ask it all. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Can we give God praise for this wonderful band and worship team? Come on, we can do better than that. Come on now. They actually practice and rehearse. They take their music home, they learn it, they listen to the songs because they want to give God their best. And I'm so grateful for them and that they're not only skilled, but they work hard. And Strong Tower Bible Church is blessed to have this wonderful team with us and our worship pastor leading us. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, when I was coming up as a youngin, I learned how to do my own laundry. My mother made sure I knew how to wash clothes. So when I went to college, I knew how to wash my own clothes. So I've been washing my own clothes now for a long time, because every now and then I will wash a load of laundry and do what I got to do. I don't have to wait on my wife or my daughters, my son to wash the laundry. But I learned something. Even though I've been washing clothes for probably 40 years now, I learned something. I inadvertently washed something that shouldn't have been washed the way that I washed it. It was one of my wife's pieces. And my wife has a way of correcting a brother without tearing a brother down. She was like, "You do know that this blouse right here is delicate. And you're supposed to put that in this special bag here before you put it in with the other clothes. Been washing for 40 years and I didn't know anything about putting delicates. I just throw it all in there together. I didn't know anything about the fact that you got to separate stuff and put certain stuff in bags. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about here? You just can't throw it all in there because it's delicate. Well, God is a teacher and a humbler, because not long ago, God had to teach my wife a lesson about the laundry. Because I have a shirt that's so delicate, it don't go in a washing machine. I takes it to the cleaners. But this sister right here put that delicate shirt in the washing machine. We had a little bit of intense fellowship for a moment. And we both waited with bated breath to see if the delicate shirt that I own shrank as a result of going in the washing machine. I'm here to report today God is good. My shirt did not shrink. My sister learned a lesson. We good at the Williamson house. But I said all that to say there are times we have to treat things that are delicate in a very careful manner. Move my props over here. I want y'all to see this box says fragile. Fragile. So when you're moving, my tape coming up here, put that back down. When you're moving stuff, you're going to have fragile things as well. And your dishes. And this is a special box to put dishes in because dishes are fragile. And then you'll have things that are so delicate and fragile, you have to make sure you bubble wrap them as well because you want to protect and take care of these delicate, fragile items. Well, we're in a new series right now. We're going to be here for a couple of weeks, and it's called Handle with Care. Handle with Care. I want to encourage you over the fact that God is very careful with how he handles us. And I want us to grow over this series that we will be very careful with how we handle each other. Because we're not always delicate with each other, with our words and with our actions. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that God remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So we're weak. We've been compared to grass in the Bible. All flesh is like grass. We're not always strong. And again, our Savior has modeled for us how to be a person of sorrow. The Bible says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And when he struggled, he even sweat drops of blood, and he would pour out his heart to the Father when he was going through a difficult season. You all look good on the outside, but many of us are just torn up on the inside. We're in a season, a difficult place. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you to trust God, as Brother James Mitchell said, that because that's really all we have. He's all we have, and all we can do is trust him. Otherwise, we'll lose our mind or we'll end up doing something we'll regret. So handle with care, especially when life is hurting. And we have a number of topics we're going to get into. We're going to talk about things like infertility. Handle with care. Things like depression and mental illness. Handle with care. Those in our body who've experienced rape, abortion. Handle with care. People who are dealing with loneliness. People who are struggling with the will of God for their lives. Folks shackled by debt. Handle with care. I'm so glad I have a Savior who could go up to the tomb of Lazarus and weep, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He wasn't so spiritual that he gave him a Bible for, hey, he's going to live. No, he entered into the pain with the people. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he enters into the pain of the people. Now, if you're doing good, man, and you're feeling good, and this series is like, oh, wake me when it's over, you just hold on because a difficult day is coming. I don't want to wish that on nobody, but it's coming. The text reminds us of that today. So let's start off this series today by dealing with aging. Aging. You just saw a whole bunch of young people walk out of this church. Man, that encourages me because there are churches that don't have a lot of young people because they're aging so much that the church is slowly dying. It's not reproducing itself. The generations are not coming after one another. And so we're thankful. We're blessed to see so many young people be able to go and be ministered to. But we also have some folk here, man. We're aging. We're getting older. There's a word for us. Now, before the universal flood occurred, which is recorded in Genesis chapter 7, human beings lived hundreds of years. So before the flood, in Genesis chapter 7, if we go back to Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, folks lived hundreds of years. Adam lived 930 years. The Bible says that Enoch lived 365 years. And then Methuselah topped them all. He lived 969 years. I'm getting tired just thinking about that. But after the flood, the average life expectancy dwindled to 120 years. Things began to change in the earth, in the atmosphere. Because of sin, depravity, man and woman just were on a steady decline. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So that's what God was saying, that the average is going to be 120 years. But as time went on, Moses wrote some more to us, not in the Pentateuch, but in the Psalms. Moses wrote a couple of Psalms. And Moses himself died at 120 years old. The Bible says he was full of strength and vigor. He had climbed a mountain. But God says, your time has come to an end. For just as sure as we have a birth date, we have a death date. We don't know when that date is. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men and women once to die, and after death, the judgment. God is the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. Our times are in his hands, not in the hands of anyone else. So he has a plan for our lives. We walk by faith from the birth date to the death date. We don't know when it's going to find us, but Moses wrote that the average life expectancy would dwindle some more to approximately 70 years. King James says 70. That just sounds deep, don't it? 70. Psalm 90, verse 10, Moses writes, the days of our lives, is that a soap opera? The days of our lives. You know your grandmother watched them soap operas. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we will fly away. 70 years, we might get 80. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, because the days are limited. They're finite. Teach us to number our days. So in other words, teach us, Lord, to make our days count. He goes on to say that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As we're going to see today from Solomon, growing older can be a burden. Growing older can be difficult. I've been going to church a long time. I can't recall hearing a sermon about growing older. But today, because I'm growing older, I'm more sensitive to what Solomon wrote about. In my early 20s, when I started preaching, this wasn't on the radar. But technically, as we're going to find out, this word about aging is really directed to young folks. Don't go nowhere. Stay tuned. So although growing older can be a burden, we got to remember it's also a blessing. In everything, give thanks. Aching knees. Oh, in everything, give thanks. Can barely hear. In everything, give thanks. My back hurt. In everything, give thanks. I get injured sleeping now. If I lay wrong, on the wrong shoulder. Wake up stiff and sore. If my leg is hanging out the bed, you better believe my knee gonna be swole in the morning. But in everything, give thanks. Growing older can be a burden, But we got to remember it's also a blessing because we should not regret growing older because it's a privilege denied to a whole lot of people. So as we're complaining about aches, we're not under the earth. We're not 6 feet deep. We're still alive. And with the living, there is hope, Solomon talks about. So, yeah, it hurts. But, man, you could be dead. So it's a privilege. It's a blessing. Cicely Tyson, who died at the age of 96, she once said, and look at that black don't crack. She once said, life and aging are the greatest gifts that we could possibly ever have. Getting old, watching your children and your children's children grow. That's a blessing. And in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, who was the wisest and wealthiest man who ever lived, he used rich poetic imagery and a host of everyday metaphors from his culture to describe the challenges of the aging process. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Do you have it? If you don't have it, it'll be on the screen for those of you online. Follow with us. Solomon writes, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. So who is he talking to? Young folks, primarily talking to young folks. Now this letter, this book is going to go out to everybody. But in this portion, he's specifically talking to young people. And he says, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So enjoy life, but don't spaz out. Be someone who enjoys life, but man, don't make a fool out of yourself because you will have to answer to God one day. So young folks, enjoy life, but don't start bugging. Translate? Anyway. Verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. Remove sorrow, depending upon how young you are. You're not paying no bills right now. Why are you walking around looking like you biting on nails and you mad at the world? Come on, man, put that away. Enjoy life. And then he goes on to say, after you remove this sorrow and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Come on, Solomon, for real? Vanity. It means simply life is empty. Life is meaningless. There's more to this life than this life. And he starts off the book by saying vanity of vanities or emptiness of emptiness, meaningless. Life is meaningless. What is he talking about? Well, he kept talking about life under the sun. Is empty. Life under the sun. You know, you're going to be born, you're going to die, there's a time for this, a time for that. I mean, there's some depression, discouragement, doom and gloom throughout the book. But he keeps trying to encourage the reader or the listener to look beyond things that are under the sun. Because you will be a miserable person if all you focus on are things in this life. And here's a guy who had whatever he wanted to buy. Wealthy beyond imagination. I mean, he could, if he wanted to have a private party, he wouldn't call Diddy, but he would call somebody to host a party for him. I mean, he could afford whatever he wanted. Women, he had 1,000 women. Clothes and buildings and ivory, but he was so empty. Why? Because he was living life under the sun, not placing his faith in God. It's one thing when unbelievers are miserable. They're living without God and they're so focusing on the world and the things of this life. Yeah, that's miserable. But the most miserable person is the person who knows God but still lives like an unbeliever. Oh, man. You're really miserable because you know better. And you're grieving God's spirit. You're quenching the spirit. And he's miserable. Life is empty. And he's saying to young folks now, look here. There's more to this life than this life. It's vanity. It's meaningless. Verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Remember him now. Don't wait till you get older and say, I'll go to church later. I'll walk with God later. As if God only walks with older people and not young people. Remember him now, because young folk a lot of times want to forget their creator and start thinking that they created themselves. So he's like, no. Remember him now in the days of your youth. Why? Before the difficult days come. Before the challenges come. Before rent comes and car note and groceries. Before it comes. Have some fun as a young people, but also enjoy God. Then he goes on to say, and the years draw near when you say I have no pleasure in them. There's going to come a day where life is going to be tough and you're going to be like, man, whoo, it's hard out here. Then in verse 2, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain. Man, that sounds like an R&B song, don't it? Boy, y'all know if I can sing, I try to do something right now. Since I can't, I'm going to keep on talking. He's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds. What's that imagery about? He's talking about your mental faculties. Because while you're young, the sun is shining. Your mind is sharp. You're astute. You're attentive. Man. But there's going to come a day when your mind won't be as sharp as it was. When you're young, it rains and the clouds go away. But when you get older, it's almost like it's going to stay cloudy up here. And a lot of folks even spiral into various physical challenges, Alzheimer's and all kinds of things like that. So he's saying, while you're young, while the moon and the stars are shining, remember your creator. So here it is. He's about to let young folk know about these difficult days that are coming. Verse 3, are you with me? He says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. All right, young people, y'all got to listen. The keepers of the house, that's imagery for your hands, your arms. That your arms keep the house. Your arms are strong. Your arms are able to do work in the house, work on the job. Your arms, they're the keeper of the house. But when you get older, they tremble. They shake. And even your arms can be used to defend yourself, but as you get older, they get weaker, they shake. There's coming a day. Then he says, and the strong men bow down. Solomon, what is that illustration? It's speaking of your legs and your knees. There's going to come a time where your knees and your legs are going to get weak, and they're going to bow, they're going to bow. Man, woo, I got some pain going on all up. I can tell the weather by what's going on with my leg. Oh, Lord. Remember when you were younger and you could just run and do all kind of stuff and wake up the next day and go. But now, you need ice bags, you need icy hot, because stuff start hurting. You ever seen an older person, a grandparent, they may get up and look, oh, and they start walking, and a grandbaby walk behind them, imitating them. You're going downhill. You're going downhill. It's almost like getting a new car. Don't you love when you get a new car or get into somebody's car and that new car smell? Give it about, 6 months? And you've been going to Taco Bell and everything. You're going to release all kind of gases up in that joint. Tear that smell up. Or a brand new baby. When a baby comes out, baby's got this particular smell. I used to stick my nose in my kids' mouths. Man, it just had a smell. Then that baby lotion mixed in and that baby, woo! But once them teeth started coming. You couldn't put your nose in there. We're going down is what I'm trying to say to you. We're going down. And speaking of teeth, when the grinders cease because they are few. What y'all think that is? Your teeth. Y'all got a picture of my homeboy up here? Okay. But I love it. He's smiling, though. If I got one, I'm going to smile. But the grinders cease. What you grind, eat your food with, your teeth fall out. They get weak. Thank God for dentists. You see somebody in their 70s with pearly whites, you know they fake. You floss, brush, take it, but they falling out. And before they fall out, they like to space out. Like one person said, there was a sign on one tooth saying, next tooth 10 yards away. Like they space out. And I'll be in the mirror brushing my teeth, and I'll look at my teeth and be like, when did that gap get here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's humbling, I tell you. Then he goes on to say, the grinders are going to cease, and those that look through the windows grow dim. These are your eyes. They grow dim, and you got to have glasses on. You know it's bad when you got glasses and still can't see. I got them progressive lenses, so I got to look like Fred Sanford at the bottom because that's where certain things are reading. So I'm looking at people like this, looking at stuff, so I can look through the bottom because of the progression. But when I was young, no, man, I could see, James, give me some Mississippi talking. I could see a jackrabbit 300 yards away in a snowstorm. But now, Lord, don't leave home without them. You know what I'm saying? Eyes are going down, man. Hang on, there is some encouragement. Be encouraged. Let's see here. Verse 4. When the doors are shut in the streets, that's speaking of social opportunities. Folks are not inviting you out to things anymore. The doors are shut on you. You know why? Because we are in the bed at 8:30. Ain't nobody inviting us nowhere. We can start getting tired and yawning and Lord, sometimes I get in the bed. I be so happy when I get in the bed. Sometimes I try to break my own record. Ooh, it's 8 o'clock. Amen. And Lord, thank God for naps. Naps are a blessing from God. Thank you, Jesus. And then he says, and the sound of grinding is low. Ears. Can't hear. Now, my hearing went out a minute ago because I was in music. You know, I did rap and I was, you know, all that music in my ears. My stuff declined. So I even went and got a surgery to put a metal bone in my ear because the original one I was born with calcified and it didn't vibrate enough to send the signals to my brain. So they put a metal one in there. Couldn't afford to get this one, the other one on the other side. I could only get one. And that was probably 5-6 years ago. And now that thing don't work no more. So now I'm leaning in when I talk to folk. What you say? Say that again, please. Don't come to me on a counseling session trying to say some real sensitive stuff and you talk quiet. And you start telling me, you know, I just want to. And I'm sitting over there. What'd he say? I'm going to have to go get another surgery or get more hearing aids or something. Solomon doesn't stop there. Then the brother says in verse 4, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, what y'all think that is? Huh? Why are we getting up early? Clifton? Chauncey? Why are we getting up early? Insomnia. And we got to go to the bathroom. Remember when you could sleep till noon? Or if you have teenagers and they stay in that bed, but Lord, you getting up before God gets up. You get up early. You can't stay asleep. The bladder just ain't what it used to be. And all the daughters of music are brought low. That means your singing voice comes to a shrill. You're not as loud as you used to be. Verse 5, also, they are afraid of height. Why? Because if I fall, I can hurt myself. So I'm really careful about heights. And then, and of terrors in the way. That means if you do go out in the street, there's some terror because you can't defend yourself like you used to. You can't run like you used to. So you are really a target to be victimized in this culture. So you'd rather stay in. He goes on to say, when the almond tree blossoms, what is that? Put up my picture. That's the almond tree. Now, mind you, this brother was 20 looking like that. Morgan, I mean, he came out looking old. But that hair, Friday at the men's Bible study, I looked at Michael Taylor, who when he and Sharon first started coming to church, his hair was jet black. Now his hair looked like Morgan Freeman hair. Mike, where you at, Mike? There he is. Yeah, there he is. And he was just like, yeah, I am. Because he said, yeah, getting older is a burden, but it's a blessing. I'm here. But some of y'all, it's not blossoming, it done fell out. And some of y'all, see, I can fool you from the front because I got a peak right here. But if you walk around to the back, I got this hole in my natural right there. I got this hole. And sometimes I'll be worshiping, enjoying the Lord, and every now and then I look up at the screen, and there go my bald head on the screen. But from the front, I fool you. But some of y'all ain't fooling us with that Grecian men's hair formula. You don't want your gray to be seen. The root, the follicle, my wife said that's all right. Just try to fool us. Just try to fool us. You ain't fooling us with that. When it rained, Lord have mercy. All right. He ain't done, y'all. Then the brother says, the grasshopper is a burden. What does that mean? You used to hop around. You had all kind of energy. Walking up the stairs where you out now. You're just getting tired. The grasshopper, oh, it's a burden. Hopping, moving around. You ever get home from a long day and you sit in your car before you get out? Because you got to take a deep breath. See, I got a sedan and my car a little low. And for me to get out, I make noises. My kids know, oh, dad's here. Trying to get up out the car. I can laugh at myself, but that was a time I used to hop out the car, baby. But now I got to contemplate. I got to think. I got to, You know what I'm talking about. And then the brother is going to say, and desire fails. I'm in verse 5, and desire fails. I didn't even want to talk about this part. You have this desire to read a book. But you fall asleep while you're reading it. Desire failed. You have a desire to go out and shoot baskets with your kids, but desire just fails. And if you're married, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. I'm getting older. Desire will fail. Sometimes I say, baby, I'm tired. Not tonight. I'm 55. This is the stuff people don't want to talk about. I ain't afraid to talk about it. I'm secure in Christ. I'm secure in my manhood. I'm tired. Somebody said, thank God. I'm going to stop right there before they cancel me in. We'll talk about this offline. Abraham, what you think he was praying to God for? Lord, give me strength. Not strength. Strength. Lord. Then he goes on to say, for man goes to his eternal home. In other words, this is not it. My eternal home.
Where I live now is not my eternal home. And the mourners are going to go about the streets. Verse 6, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. What's he talking about? Two precious metals, speaking of how precious life is, but also how fragile and delicate life is, because it's a picture of a chandelier. A silver cord is holding a gold lamp. But once the cord breaks, the gold bowl falls and crashes. It is a metaphor or a simile for death. He gives you another one in case you don't get it. Or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. I can't get water at the fountain if the pitcher is broken. Death. Then he says, or the wheel broken at the well. If there is water down there, I can't get it because the wheel is broken. And in the Bible, water and light speak of life itself. But if the lamp breaks, if I can't get water out of the well or the well is broken, he's saying that you're going to die. Verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Genesis 2:7, that God made man from the dust of the ground. So at funerals, I say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We're going to the ground. Thank God there's going to be a resurrection of the dust. He goes on to say, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. For Christians to be absent from the flesh, the dust, is to be present with the Lord. For unbelievers to be absent from this body is to be judged by the Lord and open up your eyes in hell. You can say, I don't believe it. If you die saying, I don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell and be a believer. There are no unbelievers in hell. All believers are in hell. They just can't do anything about it now. But if you hear my voice and you don't know the Lord, the one who, as I'm going to close here in a minute, who defeated death by rising again from the grave, you are in some trouble. But today can be the day of salvation. You can put your trust in Jesus. Otherwise, the Bible says if you trust in yourself, you're a fool. Don't die without Jesus. You're going to die. Death is the common denominator for all of us. Rich, poor, black, white, brown, American, Russian, whatever. Death is the common denominator. Solomon says that death is the destiny of every man, and the living ought to take this to heart. Especially while you're young and think you're going to live forever. Growing older can be a burden, but we also have to remember it's a blessing to get older. Yeah, it's humbling, but it's a blessing to get older. My God. So young people, get to know God now. Don't try to enjoy life without God. Aging people. As you are getting closer to God, get closer to God. We're getting closer to meeting God, so get closer to God. Growing older is a reminder that we are closer to meeting our Maker today than we were yesterday. For some people, that's good news. There are people in our families. My mother was one. On her deathbed, she was ready to go. She was ready to go. That's good news. But for other folks, that's bad news. They're not ready. Death, as I mentioned, is every human's common denominator. King Solomon wrote these words. So when I think about kings in my lifetime, all of them succumbed to this thing called death. No one could escape death. No king. Michael Jackson has been called the king of pop. But I remember the day when he died. I also remember when they put his body on a gurney and let it out. And I was like, wow, Michael, the king of pop, is dead? Yeah. Elvis, the king of rock and roll, died in Memphis. People didn't see that coming. It broke folks' hearts. You can appreciate the music of these performers, but there are people who put their faith and their trust in them that when they died, their worlds fell apart. Another death in Memphis of another king was Martin Luther. He died. He succumbed to death. All kings are going to die. King Saul succumbed to death. His predecessor, King David, succumbed to death at the age of 80. And even King Solomon, who wrote our text today, with all of his wisdom and wealth, he succumbed to death. Some commentators said he died at my age, 55. Others say he died at the age of 80. We don't know the age he died. We just know that he died. But before I leave, I got to get happy. Because there's another king who succumbed to death. And they didn't take his life. See, y'all thought Easter was just last week. They didn't take his life. He had the power to give it, and he also had the power to take it up. Because when he died on Friday, on Sunday morning, 3 days later, any part of a day equals a day in the Jewish economy. Friday, he was in the tomb. Saturday, he was in the tomb. Early Sunday morning, he was in the tomb, but he got. He defeated this thing called death. And not only did he defeat death and rise from the grave, the Bible says we are the first fruits of his resurrection. We're getting up too. And not only will we rise, he's going to give us new bodies where this mortal must put on immortality, where this corruptible will put on incorruptible. And the Bible says when I see him, I'm going to see him as he is, and I'm going to be made like him. I'm going to get a body like his. So he's dealt with this sin and decay and death and aging thing. And you have the nerve not to trust him? In the meantime, I'm joining Paul saying, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Aging is a burden, but man, it's a blessing. And I thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of getting older. So let me ask a question here today. If I have anybody in the church right now, 80 years old or older, would you stand up right now? You're 80 or older. Would you stand up right now? Come on, mama. I see you back there. Come on. Stand on up. Go ahead and stand, mama. There it is. Amen. And Michelle, how old is your mother, Michelle? 94. Amen. Now, she sat back down. I was going to ask her to remain standing, but that's all right. You sit on back down. If you are 70 or older, would you stand now? Wherever you are, if you are 70 or older, would you stand? Amen. Amen. And remain standing. We just want to look at you. We just want to look at you. Amen, amen, amen. Remain standing. If you are 60 or older, would you stand right now? Hey, come on, 60 or older. I saw some of y'all struggling to get up. But you got up. Hey, 60 or older, remain standing. Look at you. You look good. He's not finished with you. If you are 50 or older, amen. Here we are, here we are. We might be moving a little slower, but we coming. We here. Remain standing. Let me read these words over you. Psalm 92, verses 13 through 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Keep on bearing that fruit, y'all. Keep on bearing that fruit, y'all. We need you. We need you. We need you. And now for the rest of y'all that's wet behind the ears, y'all stand on up now too. All you babies. Amen. Pray together. Father, thank you. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And Lord, the longer we're alive, the more time we have to walk with you on this side of eternity. Yes, we're looking through a glass dimly, but we have the hope that one day we're going to know fully, even as we are fully known. But you still have a plan for us. You're not finished with us. We don't need anybody to put any dirt on us because we're still alive. Thank you for grandchildren and great-grandchildren who get to watch us walk with you and watch us model you before them. Father, you are after the generations and not just after individuals. So I thank you for those in our body who have some salt and pepper in their hair. Those in our body, Lord God, who are growing older. We need them. We thank you that you would entrust them to this community. Would you help them with the needs that they have that they don't speak about? Some of them need help in their homes, some repairs. Some of them need some additional income to make it through. But Lord, these folks are so noble, have so much dignity, they won't speak about it. But I thank you for what you're beginning to birth in the church. We're going to go to them. We are going to them and asking them, do you need something? We thank you that we get to feed people outside this church and help people outside this church. But Lord, we want to make sure we can do some painting and clearing of property and all that stuff for people inside this church. We thank you again for them. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. And it's according to the power. Work in us, O God. Work in us, O God. Because though the outward man is perishing, the inward man, the power is being renewed day by day. May the joy of the Lord give us strength in our bodies. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give him a hand praise. Hallelujah. All right, singles. We're going to meet Sister Michelle up here. If you're here for the luncheon with Next Generation, right on down the hall. The rest of y'all, get on out of here, old folk. Go take a nap. Be blessed.